Well, God is great. I can see everybody but Chad. I can't see Chad. He's hiding. Has he been sinning? Amen. All right, God is great. Everybody who comes today goes to heaven. We're having two baptisms. Two baptisms today. The big one. That's our good brother, Trevor. We just thank you, Lord, for a baptism. Just thank you, Lord God, for that. Well, I want to look at John 15, the vine and the branch. John 15. This one starts out where Jesus claims to be a vine. Just think of a tree with a trunk, and he's the trunk. Or a grapevine, whatever. He said, I am the vine. You are not the vine. You are the branches. Now, the branches are dependent upon the vine. You can't have a branch without a vine. The word branch, denotatively, what it literally means, is it can't exist. A branch, you can put a branch in the ground, it won't grow. It won't produce anything. But the vine does grow out of the roots. Branches don't have roots. The branch has to be tied in to the vine. So he said, I'm the vine. You're the branch. I'm the vine, you're the branch. So it's a dependent relationship to a superior. Someone who lacks something, who doesn't have something on his own. In other words, Jesus said, you don't have life in yourself, I do. So I want to come into you. I want to have an intimate, loving relationship with you to give you what I have, which you don't have. You have life, but it's dependent on me. You're only alive if you're connected intimately in union with me. So that's going to be you today. You're going to be that branch, and you're going to be put into Jesus so that you have his power and his wisdom and his strength and his glory and his majesty. Everything that he has, you have. So you inherit everything. You miss nothing. So the only secret is to get into that vine, into that tree trunk. If you break the branch off, it doesn't bear anything. If you put it back in, if you graft it back in, it bears. So the secret then to life is something you can't do. The secret to life is you can't, as a branch, jump into the tree. So you'll never bear fruit unless you're in that tree, but it's not your decision to get in that tree, it's his. So, the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, he wants to give you everything. He wants you to have an abundant life down here. And to have it not just for this world, but for the next as well. So, that's so ridiculous for him to say that, because we've never been to the next one. We don't even know what that's like. We barely understand this one, let alone the next one. But he has made a promise, sworn an oath, and nobody has to believe it. But some people do, I do. I totally believe that what Jesus said is true. How did I come to that? I just kept reading and I didn't believe it and I didn't believe it and I didn't believe it. It didn't make any sense to me, and then all of a sudden one day I believed it. I didn't make myself believe it. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So there's nothing tricky about it. If you don't believe, don't try to believe. You can't make yourself believe. You can't jump into the tree. So if you're lying on the ground, you're lying on the ground, just that's where you are. No problem. But God desires you to be in that tree. He wants to make you part of his kingdom, part of himself, part of his household, part of his glory, part of his majesty, part of his wealth, part of his everything. So the tree and the branch. I am the vine, you are the branch. But he puts it in the plural. You are the branches. So all of us are branches in his tree. There's only one vine. There's only one rooted thing in this world. That's Jesus. So Buddha can't get you there. The other religions, though they may well not steal your hubcaps or something, they're not actually able to forgive your sins. As a matter of fact, they won't. The other religions put all the pressure on you to behave. This is the only religion, Trevor, which says you don't have to behave. But that's good, because I am not a behavior. Is anyone else here not a behavior? In other words, from time to time, I want to do my own thing, and I forget. So my sins are not just past, they're present and no doubt future. I mess up. I miss the mark. I make mistakes. Anybody else liketh unto me? That's why I like this religion. It's the only religion that makes sense to me, because it's made for people who goof up. All other religions require, absolutely require, good behavior. And you have to do your best at all times. And then there's a little test at the end, and if you flunk, you're out. So I don't like the Buddhist one, or the Hindu one, or the Muslim one, or whatever. Because you don't know, you're always iffy. This one's guaranteed from the beginning. He first loved us. So it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's why he sent Jesus down to be the vine. So I'm the vine, you're the branch. Now in verse 5, if we kept reading, he's just going to say it over and over again, what he just said. He said, if you abide in me, if you abide in me and I in you, if you remain in me, if you don't get out of the position, the union, if you stick with me, just like my wife and I, we've been married today 51 years. And that's about it. That's about it. That's about it. That's our achievement. We did it. We did not kill each other. So the fact that we made it this far is a pretty good sign.
Yes.
But the real reason that we made it is because I, who was not a believer at all, in fact, I had no use for God or no use for good people or anything else. But God influenced me anyway, and I became a pastor without being a Christian. I was definitely not a Christian. I got up one day and told my church, I don't believe in God, never have, probably never will. You should fire me, but I don't think you care, and therefore you got me. So if you're real smart, you'd get rid of me. However, you'll either be replaced with some naive idealist or some black desperado. At least I'll tell you the truth. I don't believe in God. Never have. And I'm going to go on a little search, try to find one Christian somewhere who's just like in the Bible. Not a lukewarm, average church going, but someone who's really doing everything that he said in there, because I don't want to do it. I definitely love sinning. I love what I'm doing. So, 7 years later, I got saved. But it took a while. Well, it wasn't from that moment. But I got up and about 6 months later. Or whatever. Whatever it was. Peggy knows all the details. After 51 years, I tend to, one of my sins is exaggerate. Or skip over a lot of detail. But Peggy knows every piece of bark on that tree. And, you know, I see the forest, she sees the bark. You know, so it's like, Peg, how's the bark doing? So God is good. How many know God is good? Okay, that's what it says. But he is good. And I would have given up on me. I certainly would have left if I was one of those church members. But they didn't leave. For some idiotic reason, and I told them what their options were. But they stuck it out. And so, thanks be unto God, that's why we're still married to this day, because I absolutely, totally changed. I wasn't going to be a hypocrite. Either go all the way or don't go at all. It was all or nothing. And since I didn't want to do any of it, it was nothing. And that's why I got up and just told them, by the way, I don't believe in God, never have. Probably never will, but I'm going to go on a little journey. You can pray for me if you want. If you don't, I'm going to do it anyway. And I don't even like this job. Now, it's the easiest job in the world. You just pray, you know, and do a few baptisms and, you know, some confirmations and marriages and burials. And that's pretty much what people want. Say a few sermons. You can get books of them and read them off. I had a lot of education, so I knew how to say what the people needed or wanted so they get paid to me. The way they paid me for that 1 hour a week. You all see that? It's a great job. Now, the rest of the week I could do what I wanted. Because in a liberal church of which I was a part, they didn't care anyway. All they wanted was, you know, do the baptisms, do the marriages and burials and so on. So God is good. Is it warm in here? Or is it just me? I'm warm. Is it?
We're having a hard time hearing.
Oh, you can't hear? Well, you're sitting in the wrong section.
We should all come over here.
Sit here in the front row. It's the spitting row right here. This is the row to sit in. All right. So Jesus said, remain in me. If you remain in me, the one who remains in me, abides in me, stays with me, stays in unity with me, that one, that particular one who does that, will bear much fruit. So, I've created you for that purpose, is to bear a lot of fruit. That means what you do on the outside. I didn't bear any fruit, never had, and just selfish, totally selfish. I didn't love Peggy with all my heart and all that. I didn't do anything. I just simply did what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. How many know there are other ministers liketh unto me? There are some. I like a lot. And I wasn't critical of them because I was worse than they were. But I knew that that wasn't what the book said. So I was curious. I wonder if this thing is real, if this vine branch thing works, actually. Because if I ever do become a believer, I'm going all the way to the death. So it's either all the way or not at all. And that's what happened. And so a few months later, I got saved, and then a few months after that, I got filled with the Spirit, and so on and so forth. I just, whatever it was, I'm taking it. And I didn't lack understanding. I'd gone to the top school, and I knew all about religion. I just didn't want to practice it. I mean, know some Christians learn about it, but they don't want to do it. And so, knowing that, I did know about it. I just didn't like it. I didn't like the idea that I'd have to do what somebody else wanted me to do. Has anybody here had that problem sometime in the past? You know, I just want to do what I want to do. I want to go to bed when I want to go to bed. I want to wake up when I want to. I want to eat what I want. I want to go where I want. I want to do what I want. So just I. Has anybody else been selfish even after you were a believer? And so, you know, it's not really a problem. But once I became tied in, it was over for me. Just like once I married Peggy, that was it. Didn't matter whether, you know, good, better or worse, all that. It didn't make any difference. I'm sticking it out to the death. And if someone's going to change, it won't be her, it'll be me. So I'm the one that needs to change. You know, she may need to change, but that's between her and God. But I need to change because I could see with all my selfishness, I was not happy. In other words, I was getting everything I wanted and still wasn't satisfied. Has anyone else ever experienced that? I mean, you have everything. I wasn't lacking anything. I went to the top school. I was going to the, you know, whatever it is I was trying to achieve, I achieved it. But to what point? And personal happiness was not, I wasn't unhappy. I just wasn't fulfilled or happy. Something was missing. And there's kind of a darkness in this world that your personal achievement doesn't overcome. I mean, there are just troubles in this world. And so even though I could avoid them, there are ways to get around most problems. But they're going to hit you sooner or later. Yeah. And so I had this idea in me that I don't really think you can have happiness on earth. That Christian thing that I'm preaching. I don't think that really works, because most of the Christians I know are just people. They just behave like ordinary people. They get mad like everybody else gets mad, and sad like everybody else gets sad, and so on and so forth. And I don't know. I think I'm gonna listen at least to this Vine talk. And so when I did, in a few months, I actually did search everywhere, but I did find. And once I found, it was over. That was it. It was 100% from that moment on. So God says, stay in. If you abide in me, you'll bear fruit. If you stay in me, if you abide in me, if you don't break the union. So this is usually not taught, by the way, but union with Jesus is everything. Yeah. And that's my whole life now, but it wasn't before. My whole life was me. And I would abuse my wife. I would abuse anybody. I didn't have any care for anyone. And I could fake it like I did care, but I didn't. Can I hear an amen? There are others like unto me. And I knew that. I knew all their lives. I knew everybody, what they were really up to. Because when you're a bad person, you recognize other co-laborers. And so I realized, you know, I can't be good. I don't want to be good. I'm not even going to try. But Jesus said, no, I want you to bear fruit, and fruit, much fruit, and fruit that abides, that remains. So that meant that he is continually, constantly, as a vine, living his life through us. Jesus wanted to live his life through me. That's what I didn't like, by the way. I didn't want anyone to live my life. I wanted to live my life. But it wasn't working, and I wasn't bearing certainly the fruit he wanted. But I didn't want to manifest him. I wanted to manifest myself. I wanted to get what I wanted. Can I hear an amen? Because everybody's like that. Actually, I'm not unique at all. I was just ruthlessly honest about it. And I knew that Jesus is not my life. I don't want him. I don't like him. I don't know anything about him. Whatever I do know, I don't want to do it. I just want to do what I want to do. Even if I ruin everything, I'd rather do it myself. How many know you can ruin your own life? And you can ruin the lives of others around you as well. You know, that's kind of a talent that we have. So to be baptized is to be put into union with Jesus. It's to be actually connected to heaven. And I wasn't arguing with any of the words. I just wasn't sure I wanted that. But once I got connected, it was over. And I realized, you know what? This actually works. The only problem is me. The only problem with it is not believing. I believe Jesus died for me and buried for me and rose for me. I believed all that. I had no doubt. I wasn't arguing with the Bible. I wasn't arguing what it said. I just didn't want to do it. But once I began, I said, okay, God, show me anything in the Bible. I'll do it. I'll start working on it right off the bat. And he did. He gave me a word. I just put my finger in the Bible somewhere and said, let's just start any old place. And then I'll go from there. And if I can do one, maybe I can do two, and so on and so forth. So I just began that way. And the first thing he showed me in the Bible that I put my finger on was rejoice always. And my response was, that's ridiculous. You can't rejoice always. You could rejoice quite a bit, but certainly there are problems and troubles in this world. How are you going to rejoice in those? But anyway, it doesn't seem that hard because I'm a happy-go-lucky person. I always achieve stuff and so on. So, yeah, okay, I'll do that one. Well, that took me about 3 years. And during that 3 years, what happened was I didn't become happy at all. What happened was he killed me. Now, you may not understand these words because they're in the Bible. Is unless you die, you can't bear fruit. Unless you die, you can't bear fruit. But die doesn't mean die. I found out in the Bible that die could mean physical death, but it probably doesn't in most cases. It means give up your life. Stop running your own life and ruining it. Let God rule it. Let God take over your life. And so by surrendering to God, psychologically, that is my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, and so on. That was a killer, because now one of the things he wanted me to do was love my wife as Christ loved the church. Well, that was kind of a killer right there, because I didn't. She could even ask me, well, do you love me? No, I don't. I love me. I want everything for me. I just want to abuse you and use you. And it's your own fault for marrying me. You should have discovered that and found that out. Too bad for you now. But I'm going to use you. How many know that is evil? That is evil. Nevertheless, that was me, selfish. But when I became a Christian, I realized, okay, I'm going to love her, but I think I'm going to have to start out saying it before I feel it or think it or understand it or do it. So I would just say to her, I love you. Say, well, do you mean that? No. Do you feel that? No. Do you want to do that? No. In other words, she was examining whether I meant anything by it. And she said, well, you're just saying that in faith? Yes. But what's wrong with that? It says in the Bible, believe. So I'm believing. I believe if Jesus did it, I can do it, but I don't know how to do it. And though I was a pastor, they don't teach you that in seminary. They teach you about Jesus. They teach you about a lot of other things. But they don't actually teach you how to be a man of God or a woman of God. I was once asked by TCU over in Fort Worth to teach a course on spirituality, on how to be a man of God or a woman of God. And I thought that was curious, because I wasn't a disciple of Christ TCU person. But the man who just had retired recommended me. And because I had all these degrees and everything, they saw that my knowledge was strong, but they didn't know that I'd become a Christian. That was my heart. And the dean of the school actually said to me, you talk as though you actually know God. Yes, sir. I was once like that. He laughed, and all the people that were examining me, there was a room full of people examining me. And he said, you know, when I was a little boy, a Methodist, East Texas, I believed like you did. I believed in God. But one day I was upstairs just not too long ago, and I came downstairs, got on my knees, and started praying, and then I came to the bar of reason. I got up and went back to bed. But you're actually talking like you still believe in that, absolutely. So he did, as a dean, he was curious, is how can you do that? How can you have a brain and also love Jesus? Amen. How can you be as smart as you are, obviously, and then you still love Jesus? It's easy, you know, that's not a problem. Same way I love my wife. I didn't just love her by faith. After a while, the thing that I said got filled in. And I began to think it and feel it and say it and do it and so on and so forth. And then God, over the years, has killed me. I found out that killing me, not killing my sins, but killing me, was the issue. Jim, don't say what you want to say. Don't do what you want to do. Don't feel what you want to feel. Will what I want. Do my will. Yes, sir. But I didn't try to drum it up. I just simply said it, and then pretty soon I felt it, and so on. So God did all of that, Trevor. And the way he did that was just, I just took it literally, as it said, and I did it. I just simply acted on what God said. The faith eventually turned into love. Now, I don't know how your marriage is, but I can say today, not only do I love my wife with all my heart and soul and strength, which I do, she actually has control over me.
Wow.
Very good, Dan. Yeah. meaning, at any time she can just say, forget what you're about to do. I want you to take care of me right now. Whatever. I'm going to abuse you. I'm going to abuse you. No problem. Because when you love, it doesn't matter what someone has said or done or thought or felt. You just love them unconditionally. And And so she has that power now to stop me. By the way, how do all you people get here on this rainy day? Filling up the ranks here. I better move over a little bit. Huh? Yeah, it's good.
10 minutes here, 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's good. So, I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branch, or branches. All of you are branches. Which is, don't bear your fruit, your natural fruit, but bear his. In other words, you could graft in a certain kind of grape into a different kind of stock or vine. And then that capacity of the vine gets into that capacity as a branch, which is to produce something more perfect than it would have done on its own stock. And that's what happened to me. I fell in love with Jesus immediately and totally. And when I did, I began to love my mother, I began to love my sister, my cousin, my wife, my children, and so on. And that changed my life forever. And when that happened, I realized I should have done this a long time ago. I should have fallen in love with Jesus a long time ago, but I didn't know that many hot Christians. Is that true with you also? Yeah. It's powerful. And I had spent much of my life just trying to achieve whatever you could achieve in this world, get all the happiness you could get. And then I found out it was a gift, just a free gift. I didn't have to earn it. I didn't have to help it out. I didn't have to do anything except listen to what he said, because faith comes by hearing. Now, apart from me, you can do nothing. Choris in the Greek language means to be separated from me, to be divorced from me, to be on your own, not with me. So that's why he said, if you abide in the vine, if the union with me, if the intimacy, if that loving every day, constantly, continually, abiding love with me, that'll change all the rest of your relationships. That'll change everything else that takes place in your life. So I didn't change anything. I just simply got to know him and stayed. I didn't move. No matter what fruit I didn't bear, I didn't count the fruit. I just simply stayed in the vine. And eventually, the fruit began to come forth, and I knew it wasn't me. I knew that whatever good had happened was due completely 100% to the vine, which was the Father's will. So the Father's working the roots. He planted that tree. He's the one that prunes the branch and, you know, takes care of everything so that tree produces. He doesn't want a tree that doesn't produce. So a good tree produces good fruit. And I think God today is raining on everything because we're short on water. We're big time short. I don't know what the lake levels are, but they've been up to 18 feet low. And I think they're at 12 or 10 or I don't know. I don't know what the levels are now. But this year has been unusual. And we've gained back some of our lake levels. But we're still in danger. We're still a long way from what we ought to be. So it's good to have rain at weird times of the year. All right. So Jesus said another thing. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but in me, you can do everything. Amen. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but in me, you can do everything. Now, obviously, everything doesn't mean everything. It means everything that is good, everything that he wants. And so there's nothing you can't do. So that's in Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse. So John 5:15-5 says, apart from me you can do nothing, but Philippians 4:13 says, but in me you can do everything. So obviously the in me, with me, abiding, is how you get fruit. So if the purpose of your life is to bear fruit, that is to show forth the Lord's goodness, the Lord's love. I mean, in this world, people love each other, but it's conditional. I love you if. But if you do that, then I don't. But God's love is not conditional. God's love is totally, 100%, I love sinners. I love people that don't love me. I didn't. I love people that aren't even working at it. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to work at it. I just want you to be a branch that I can stick in my tree and let you grow. And if you'll surrender to me, so the first thing is believe, the second thing is surrender. And the reason you surrender is so you die. That is, die to your own views, go to your own ideas. So let the branch no longer bear what it used to branch. Let it bear heavenly fruit on earth, unconditional love of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Those nine fruits are to come forth from the Christians. Now, I believe today the church is not really abundant in those things. I don't think, for example, that you see a lot of unconditional love in the church. I know Baptist churches split all the time because they can't get along with one of the other members or half of the other church or whatever. And so a lot of churches expand by dividing. And you get more Baptist church that way. But I think what God wants is love, joy, peace. I don't see the joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peggy can tell you I'm always joyful. She cannot get me down. She cannot discourage me. She cannot... there's nothing she could ever do that would make me change now that I'm in the vine, now that I'm in Christ. And Christ is in me. I'm not only in Him, but He's in me working His death in me so that I... Why do I need to do anything if He takes care of everything? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. So if He meets all my needs, I don't need to be selfish anymore. And I'm not. Why? Because I don't need to. Why? Because He takes care of everything. Therefore, I can give all my love to Peggy or you or anybody, even my enemies. I don't have to avoid enemies any longer. I can actually love them just the way they are. So, all the hatred goes out, all the bitterness goes out, all the jealousy and all of that stuff just drains out as that new life begins to course in you as a branch in that vine. So now we're able to bear not only fruit, but fruit that abides, fruit that's continual, fruit that's constant. And that's what's going to happen to Trevor today. And you don't have to help him. He'll just do it all. You don't have to do a thing. Just stay the way you are. But just say, Jesus, I want you to come in today. I want you to kill off the old Trevor. Because sometimes you do wrong things. But I want you to become... just like me, but that's Jesus' promise, not yours. Jesus, go ahead and do it. But I'm going to read your word, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do whatever, but I'm going to expect you to do everything you said. And you're just going to bless me, and you're going to take all the burden, I'm going to get all the blessing. What do you think of that? It's good. It's powerful. So your death is His life living through you. In other words, if you're alive and you're selfish and you're taking care of yourself, then He can't use you. So all He wants is just surrender to me, trust me. I mean, no, happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Here's the problem. If you don't do what we're talking about, if you don't do that, if you don't surrender, you can be born again. But if you don't surrender to Him and allow Him to take over your person, your life, then you won't find happiness. You'll find momentary pleasure, but not happiness. I had that. I had momentary pleasure. I knew how to get pleasure easily. It's very easy when you're selfish to get pleasure. I had no problem doing it. And I wasn't using drugs and booze and stuff because I found out those had consequences I didn't want. But the only reason I didn't do them was because they had consequences I didn't want. But I had no morals, no religion in me, though I was a pastor. And I behaved myself on the outside only so they'd pay me and allow me to keep doing what I wanted to do. How many of you can do bad things when no one's looking? You actually, as soon as people, because people don't pay attention because they're doing their own thing. And I could do a lot of things that were totally self-oriented. I didn't have to do it in front of them. I could just do it when they weren't looking. And because I was sneaky and treacherous and a liar and a con artist and so on, it was easy. But Trevor, God wants you to be true so that you're really a blessing to your mom and dad. Amen. And that you're happy all the time. And I am. And anybody can be. It's not in heaven. You don't need to be happy in heaven. You need to be happy down here. If you're happy in heaven, it doesn't help anybody. Everybody's happy in heaven. But if you're happy down here, it actually makes people think, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you happy? This life stinks. You know, it's because God is good. Because God is good. And He wants, this is not our idea, this is God's idea to have heaven on earth. Heaven on earth today, right in our marriage. 51 years, totally happy. I'm not happy because of anything. I'm happy because I know the Lord. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. So He's the vine. I don't do anything. I'm just the branch. Let Him do it. So first of all, you have faith. Second of all, you submit to Him so that you're dead. And third of all, you're a lover. And Peggy can tell you, I am a lover. I love her. I don't care what she says or does or doesn't say and doesn't do. I love her unconditionally. No conditions. That's why she can abuse me. It doesn't bother me at all. I like it. As a matter of fact, I like it when she does. And I want her to. I want her to be a person. And I want her to desire anything. Whatever you desire, you may not get it. But whatever you desire, just be yourself. Don't help God out. Stop being nice. Just be you. I love you as you. Not what you ought to be, but what you are. And that's a hard lesson. Has anybody else learned that lesson? We don't love people because of what they do or say or don't do or don't say. We just love them because God's in us who is love. So it's the love of God that fills our hearts when we're in union with Christ that then reaches out to others. So all God's ever wanted, God is love, all He's ever wanted is to show love to us and then to love through us. First of all, to us. And then starts to work in us until we no longer need to care about ourselves so that we can just trust Him, surrender to Him. And then we can love others. So that was God's will from the beginning. Two scriptures, John 15:5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's His idea. But in me, through me, you can do all things. I mean, that word all is interesting. In other words, everything that God wants, you can do. And did you know that your life was laid out before there was a world? Before even the creation of the world itself. He had already laid out everybody's program. What you should do on a daily basis to please Him. Now, when you become a believer, as I did, I was no longer living Jim's program. Which didn't work. It was always out of kilter. But now that I'm entering into what He finished, what He did for me, it's joy unspeakable. I'm already in heaven. I don't need to go to heaven to be happy. I've already found it. And I'm already participating. I know I'll see it someday, but I'm already experiencing it now. And I want my wife to do it as a husband should take all the burden and give her all the blessing. I don't have a problem doing that. I like that. And she examines me every day and so on. So that it's not unusual because I was a beast before. I didn't look like a beast, but I was one. How many know you can fake it with people? You can be a hypocrite. But I'm not faking it now. And she's kind of amazed. She says, I think I want to be like you. But I don't think I am. I'm not like that. Dead to this world. Alive to God in Christ Jesus. How many know this is God's will for you? Bear much fruit. It's the only thing to do. Bear much fruit. How? Just get in the vine. How? Just believe that Jesus loves you. If somebody loves you unconditionally and you accept that love, that's faith. He's the one that shed His blood. He's the one that said, you know, I love you just the way you are. And Trevor, you don't have to do a thing to qualify. You don't have to do anything. Just be Trevor. Whatever you are, whatever you feel and think and want, just be what you are. Let Jesus do it all. Jesus does everything that needs to be done. So, today we're going to have a great baptism. And this is the worst day of the year, I think, for rain. I think this is the worst day of the year. My gosh, just driving here to Dallas, you could not even see, you know, because the rain was beating down. So we prayed God, just part the thing a little bit during the baptism so that we could get through the rain. But and as soon as we got up on 635, it began to quiet down. But I believe that God loves Trevor just the way he is, and I believe this baptism is going to be powerful. So, the Lord is great, the Lord is good. Let's have a couple testimonies. Who has a testimony? All right, let's have the second testimony. Not long, just short.
Yesterday I was out in Highland Park, just kind of doing a prayer field, and it started to rain.
Amen.
And I was probably about 2 minutes away from the car, maybe 5 minutes anyway, so I was walking, and it was pouring.
Amen.
Anyways, I heard this beep, and this lady that I used to rent her house to my best friend from, pointed at me. She didn't know it was me, but she picked me up, and I hadn't seen her in like 12 years.
Wow.
And it was just a divine appointment. I just want to praise God for his amazing, unconditional love and grace.
Praise God. That's good. Yes. Susan.
Just in talking about dying, you know.
Yeah.
Way I've kind of seen it, you know, with the Lord also is just like when he, like a lot of times it's circumstances. Well, I mean, once you know that he loves you completely, then like you say, some circumstances can come against you, or they might, or just life brings that. But once you're a Christian, then it's like you're sharing. He's allowing you to share part of what he, like a tiny part of his death.
Right.
Because he laid down and took all that whole weight of everyone.
Amen.
So,
it's powerful.
Know, I mean, that's the way I've kind of seen it too, is that he trusts you or he allows you to lay down things.
Right.
Know, and just be whatever happens come, and that you're always still going to praise him and no complaints.
Amen.
You know.
And Wyatt gets the benefit of that, your son. Because if you were alive and just taking care of yourself, you couldn't take care of him. But because you said, look, Lord, whatever it takes, I want him to know everything.
Yeah, and at first I didn't react. I mean, at first, you know, I was like, at first I reacted, and then God said, yeah, you can lay your life down.
Yeah.
You can lay your life down for Wyatt and Tim.
Yeah, powerful. Yeah.
You don't have it. Because, I mean,
right.
It was my desire before. You know,
amen. So. It's powerful. Yeah. Death doesn't mean death. It means just surrendering. And you aren't surrendering. You're surrendering to his love.
Amen.
His abundance, his beauty, his glory, his majesty. When you do that, you don't need a husband. You don't need a wife. You don't need anything. You just need him. And then you get everything else. Then you get back your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, whatever. God wants to restore, and that the church, this is the church's, what it's called for, bear much fruit. In other words, show forth the love of God, that unconditional love of God. Anyone else? Testify.
Pastor Jim?
Yes.
I'm just blessed to be here. Pastor Jim, you are such a blessing, and I just thank you for that you so lovingly and tenderly and boldly share the truth.
Yeah.
And I was trying to find that verse that you spoke with authority, and they all marveled. I'm so glad to be back. I've been
Yahoo!
Just
repeat that all again. Just repeat that. No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am just saying thank you and praise for God's work in over the last 7 weeks of healing me. It would have been nice if I could have just stood up right away when we were praying when it actually happened, but he's allowed this process
good
for me to be still.
I love it.
Him.
I love it. Yeah, it's powerful. The best is yet to come.
Yes.
The best is yet to come. Anyone else? Yes.
As I start each morning off claiming that I am crucified with Christ.
That's it.
I love being able to put in your CD, drive to work, and hear that reconfirmation.
Amen.
And it starts my day so wonderfully.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Praise God. Powerful. Yes.
Real quick. I always kind of get stressed out when I see it looks like the world is coming down on Christians. And the fact that, if you're bearing fruit, the world's going to hate you. Look at the 18th verse,
yeah,
that same chapter.
Right.
It says, if the world hates you, remember, they hated me first.
Right.
And if they love you, then you're really of the world and you're not of me.
Right.
So, and you get a lot of joy in the fact that the world hates Christians. Hey, at least we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
God's
amen.
Not the world's side.
Right.
Amen.
And I like what you just said. It gives you a chance when someone misuses you or abuses you, misunderstands you, whatever. It gives you a chance to forgive them and then to love them anyway.
Yeah.
Don't take negative as negative. Take it as an opportunity. So when someone abuses you or speaks ill of you or whatever, bless them. Pray for them.
Amen.
And think well of them.
Amen.
So, take every thought captive. Most people are thinking negative things. I don't. I don't think negative things.
Amen.
I can turn any negative into a positive.
Amen.
Anything. I don't care how bad it is. I'll turn it into a positive.
Amen.
Because I actually believe that God intends for happiness to be on the earth.
Amen.
And let it start with me. Then Trevor. You'll be next.
Jim,
all right.
One more thing.
One more thing.
Ashley in Maine.
Yes.
Ashley.
Yeah. Right.
And her two daughters.
Yes.
And the fruit, as you've abided in the Lord, and bore much fruit, it is so amazing to see the fruit in Maine.
Yeah.
Their fellowship with you and how it's impacting her and her daughters. And I'm sending her this tape.
Yahoo! Amen. It's good. It's powerful. All right.